Gudiños en el arco, la defensa es colosal. González, Orlando, La Torre, Nicolás Fuentes y Chumpitas. Chale, Mifrin y Cubillas y el gran Perico León. Bailón y Alberto Gallardo completan.
This is the Peruvian Waltz Podcast. I'm Peter Galindo, joined by the regulars, Renato Vilches and Kevin Montalvan. No time for pleasantries or checking in on how we feel, because I think we're all feeling some kind of way after Thursday night. And that will be our only topic of conversation, because even though we normally record after both Peru qualifiers, this is an emergency and everyone needs answers. So let us vent and be your therapy session, as it were. I am talking, of course, about Peru 0, Colombia 3 on Thursday. As most of you saw, that was the result at Estadio Nacional. Miguel Trauco getting sent off shortly after Colombia opened the scoring through Yerry Mina. Although the Colombians did finish with 10 men, but by that point it was too little, too late. Peru still has just 1 point from 5 games and are 6 points adrift of the top five. They've conceded 13 goals and have gone 3 straight games without scoring. And the current 6-match winless run and 4 straight defeats are the 2 longest such streaks under Ricardo Gareca, who I think summed this all up by saying, and I quote verbatim, El equipo está mal, or the team is bad. Now, when we try to dive into the minutiae, guys, it is very difficult. So to help us navigate the state of La Selección, we've asked the listeners for their questions. So that will determine our running order for this episode. We'll start with one that I think targets more so the outsiders, those who don't cover or watch Peru all the time. It's from Ralph Hanna at Paraguay Ralph, who asked, why has Peru started so badly compared to previous years, considering it is the same coach and essentially the same side, which I think we all probably thought would have put Peru at an advantage. But Kevin, in your eyes, I mean, if you can even sum it up quickly, why has Peru started so badly?
Well, there's quite a few things that have happened. We've taken on some injuries, and unfortunately, you know, Guerrero, Farfan, they're not getting any younger. They're like 37. As far as our forward options, we haven't really gotten to renew them much. We're definitely depending on Carrillo and Cueva to step it up for us. And unfortunately, Gareca doesn't seem to think that there's much else we have as far as forward options. As far as defense, there's players that don't belong here anymore. In my opinion, like Ramos, Corso, that we should be able to move on from at this point, that may have been keeping us back at this time.
Renato, let's maybe move over to, I suppose, you know, I guess more detail. We got a question, and there were a lot of questions like this, so we might end up repeating ourselves for the next few minutes, but Brian at @A_Brian asked, why would Gareca play so conservatively for a must-win match, and why won't he try anyone new? I hoped that with Flores and Canchita out, the new guys would get some minutes, but of course that didn't happen. Gareca would rather experiment with the same tired squad over trying that. Do you think that is an accurate assessment? Should Gareca take all the blame, or do the players have to shoulder some of this too?
It's really hard to answer if you think about it, because on one hand, let's be honest, some of the players, no, a good amount of the players have been underperforming, slash, I don't even know why they're even here, like players like Aldo Corso, Cristian Ramos starting for Peru in the year 2021 is just outrageous in my opinion. But I think another thing it has to do with is that Ricardo Gareca, for the worst, has way too much faith on the 2018 generation that brought that I know has brought Peru the success. Like, let's not deny that. They brought us to Russia 2018 in the Copa America final, and we'll always cherish those moments perfectly. But I see little to no progression in this team, man. It's like the same tactics. Unfortunately, the injuries are been getting bad with Paolo. Unfortunately, he's not getting any younger, and the injury he recently received took a toll on him. And even in this performance against Colombia, it just looked noticeable that Paolo just wasn't the same. Unfortunately, I did not understand the reasoning. Why would you switch Garrido's usual right wing position to put him on the left just so you could put Advíncula? I do not know why you just try to like put trust or like even a risk on putting maybe someone like Luis Iberico on the left wing. But I just think it has to do with both. But I do argue one thing, that maybe right now the team, they're just weak mentally. In fact, I say this because ever since Russia 2018, Marcelo Marquez, who's considered to be an internal factor to Peru's like more quote-unquote revival during 2017 and 2018, he left the national team after having disagreements with the FFAF. And arguably, Marcelo Marquez was the one that prepared Peru for these like crucial matches during like the later stages of the 2018 qualifiers and for the World Cup. Why do you think we were able to like fight so hard against a team like France in the World Cup? But ever since then, like the team hasn't been psychologically well. Like you see like heavy defeat, you've been seeing more heavy defeats, like the 5-0 to Brazil in 2019 Copa America, and now just recently this like 3-0 loss against Colombia at home, which says worse volumes. And unfortunately, like now that every time that a goal is conceded, Peru just loses its mind completely. I mean, look what happened to Miguel Trauco, and instead of just finding a way to fight back or like get a score, they just go act like they're headless chickens or anything. So I just think this team, like unfortunately, like this departure of the psychologism has something to blame with our team losing their minds.
But to play devil's advocate, they made a Copa America final in 2019. Yes, they suffered a massive defeat against Brazil in that tournament, which I don't think any of us could have even anticipated. But then to, again, play devil's advocate to that point, Peru were resilient to the point where they just didn't really fall behind. Like, they were, even though they were kind of holding on for dear life against Uruguay, they were able to force penalties, and then they persevered from there. That took a lot of guts to do that and mental strength to do that. They end up coming out against Chile, who I think in that tournament, a lot of people maybe took them a little bit for granted, and they still showed their quality. But Peru had probably one of their best games in the Gareca era in that match. And then they went pretty much toe-to-toe with Brazil, but those one or two moments really ended up clinching it for Brazil in the end. So I feel like they're still capable of doing this. It's just when it goes really wrong, it all completely unravels. And I think that's really the problem. And I mean, the selection doesn't help. I mean, Renato, you laid it all out there. And this was probably one of our more common questions that we received from the followers and the listeners. One of them maybe is kind of targeted to, you know, why would Gareca do this when this is coming up? And it comes in the form of, did Gareca mess up by sending out that starting 11? Should he have waited for Copa America? That is from Peruvian fan analyst at PF Analyst. Kevin, I think it's safe to say that Gareca was probably going to start mixing things up at this Copa America. But the fact that these qualifiers have, at least the first one, went pear-shaped maybe kind of exacerbates the issues, does it not?
I do think so, but I want to put some things into perspective because it's not all doom and gloom, even though the result is awful. I think, you know, to put things into perspective, we took one goal in the first half, which was a keeper error. Mm-hmm. Very unfortunate for Galese. I don't think that happens that many times in his entire career, to be honest. And then the other two come when we're a man down against Colombia. So as far as the lineup, I think, you know, the right side was working. There wasn't much danger coming from Colombia where Advíncula and Corso were, even though I am against Corso starting. Right. Or even being called up at this point.
All of us are.
And then Trauco was having a decent match until he was getting those early yellows, and then I mean, it is what it is. People want to call it debatable or whatnot. He jumped in kamikaze style,
yeah.
And then that completely threw off Gareca's game plan. is how I see it. Until then, we were having a pretty decent match against Colombia. They are a very, very stubborn side against us. And I do think that despite that, we were okay in the first half. We were okay in the first half, and I'm sure Gareca knows that going forward, he'll have to do some changes in the squad, because there was definitely things that should not have gone as they did. Guerrero, for me, shouldn't have started. He saw La Padula in like 20 minutes, killed it, yep. Kept pushing the team forward. I don't think he'll put in three strikers again anytime soon.
Let's hope not, after what we saw there.
Or putting Rodriguez as a number 10. That is...
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, that was... I mean, look, we could break down every single decision that happened. It was a bad night in the end. It just unraveled. It is curious that he wouldn't at least give an appearance or a start to any of... Maybe more so start, but to any of Peña, Araujo, or La Padula, given their form. Yes, Alvo Corso had a decent match, but let's also be real here. La Selección does not have any room for replacement level players unless you absolutely need to put them in there. And let's be honest, you could have put in Gilmar Lora and he could have done maybe a better job. Put Advíncula right back where he belongs and probably could have done just as fine. You know, ditto for Ramos and Guerrero, as much as we love him, they clearly didn't look ready for this. And, you know, especially in build-up too, Advíncula had zero support out there because the clear goal was make sure the right side is solidified defensively and don't take very many chances. And that kind of made Peru's build-up a bit predictable. But there were times when it looked pretty decent, right? With that Trauco, Cueva, and Yotun trio, which we saw so many times in the previous cycle. But Carrillo looked like he was just in the way, and it kind of killed that combination time and time again. So I feel personally, if Gareca had wanted to use three at the back off the ball, then put two strikers out there. Have, you know, Peña or Cueva in behind. If one of them doesn't work out, just, you know, substitute one of the other ones in and then just go from there. Because, I mean, taking out Christian Cueva, he may not have been on it. He's the creative outlet. Why would you not put on another creative outlet out there? It was just a litany of errors, really. And that's why I brought this question up off the top, which Tony at Tony La Portana asked us, who is more to blame, Gareca or the players? Between Trauco's careless challenge, Cueva not interested in creating, Gallese caught in between. I'm personally siding with, this isn't just one person taking most of the blame. I feel everybody from the Federation on down is responsible for this bad start. Renato, would you agree with that or not?
Oh, absolutely. Don't get me wrong, Gareca does have a lot of fault in this, but he's not the only one to blame. You got to blame the players who are underperforming and that you really question why they're even getting starts in the national team, like Aldo Corso or Cristian Ramos. But even also the Federation, like, I think this, like, performance today, unfortunately, just reflects on how, like, Peruvian football is as a whole. It's just that we're not making any improvements to our level or even giving the support to our players. It's just, it's all in shambles, and we're now just, sums us up currently, unfortunately, right now, where we just have lost ourselves, and we're trying our best to recover.
Kevin, what would you say about this? Who is to blame here? Is there one specific area that this can be pinned on, or is it just a case of, you know, when this all goes pear-shaped, everybody has to be responsible?
I think everybody has to be responsible in general, but I want to narrow down one thing that really disappointed me. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, Carrillo and Cueva are on fire. So I understand that they're going to start. Right. But they came like one day before the match, right? Mm-hmm. I think they had maybe one or two training sessions.
Yeah.
In that time, Gareca had the chance to, you know, to see what Iberico had, what Raciel had, Peña. You know, he could have relied on any of these options to just give him a few minutes, see if they could light a spark in the team. and nothing. You know, we didn't see any of the new guys get a single minute.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is the most disappointing part of the match.
Yeah, completely agreed. To me, the first red flag that came up in these qualifiers was, and I mean, Renato brought it up with the departure of Moreno and you know, just the slow decline, let's say, of Peru's mental strength. When a team that previously kept its cool behaves irrationally in most games, that is a pretty big red flag for me. And, you know, they might be tuning out either Gareca or they're getting complacent because they know they're not going to get dropped. I don't know. There are a number of factors. But when the likes of Miguel Trauco, who are normally very level-headed and quite calm, are getting sent off in a moment of rash indiscipline, that is kind of a bad sign. And all of this, I feel, goes entirely against what Juan Carlos Oblita said after the November window, when he was talking about the players need to stop being complacent, that, oh, you know, we're mundialistas, it's going to correct itself, and that guys may have to be dropped or, you know, learn their lesson, as it were. And my question to that is, what happened to that? Because there were two or three players who you can make the argument for, whether it was, you know, out of form or just not at the right level, that they shouldn't have even been in the 11 to begin with. Guys like Yoshimar Yotun, who did not look all that great in the first four games, I thought showed improvements. That's for sure. But when you don't, you know, give them a challenge in the form of, hey, this player who is young and doing well in Liga Uno or wherever he is coming on and is going to take a chance and maybe do well, that puts pressure on you. And you don't really see that. And that's where I think Gareca has messed up in a lot of ways. He could have probably done this at Copa America. In fact, we probably expect that to happen at Copa America. But I also feel like, what's the harm in giving these guys a chance, especially when you're in this situation? Like, at this point, you really can't lose if you put on a young player. If he does well, great. If he doesn't, all right, then, you know, we've tried it and it didn't work. And I guess when we pivot to Gareca, because there is a lot of outrage towards him, which I feel is still quite over the top. Like, you can certainly criticize him, but to go from, you know, he's godlike to we need to fire him, I feel is quite a drastic change in behavior. But we got maybe three or four questions on Gareca specifically. Nick Forsman at Matt Murr 24/7 asked, I've heard reports that if Peru lost to Colombia, Gareca would be fired. I hope it's not true. I don't think he's really to blame for Peru's problems. If you disagree, I'm open to hear your opinions. Arriba Peru. Vince Alvarado at Vince by Demand just simply asked, how much money do we throw at Juan Reynoso? Sergio Branco Rivera at Sergio Branco 10 basically asked us as well, what do you think of Juan Reynoso managing La Selección? And then Leo LW asked, who do you think will be the replacement for Gareca when he leaves? Renato, I feel like Reynoso is a pipe dream. He's not going to come to Peru for a variety of reasons, primarily because his stock is high. He wants to stay in club coaching. Yes, he hasn't extended at Cruz Azul yet, but it looks like that extension is coming. And then from there, he can move to a better and more lucrative job. Plus, if Gareca is fired, he is owed a lot of money until the end of the cycle, and the FFPFA is in deep financial trouble. So there'd be no money left to hire Reynoso, even if he wanted to take the job. So what... essentially, do you think Gareca is going to stay if, for the only reason being that financially he has to stay?
Well, I mean, that part will be on the FFAFs. I mean, it's a really tough decision because, let's be honest, our current state in the qualifiers is basically Qatar's almost adios at this point. But I do think that if Gareca could, at least to redeem himself, maybe try to give the... if he wants to pull a Copa 2016 treatment for this year's Copa, at least give us a transitional change of new players so we can have them for the next cycle that can lead up to 2026/2024 Copa America. Like, all of us are begging to see the Tabaras, the Loras, the Ibericos, the Vilcas, the Celis. We're begging to see them. But unfortunately, at this point, Gareca just had too many trusts on some of the on this 2018 group, yet most of, like, a good amount of them are just not working anymore. Now, of course, there are some you can bring up, you can, like, try to, like, build them around against with the reliable players still, like Renato Tapia, Pedro Aquino. And of course, you could still try to build something up with Gianluca Lapadula. But I just think that trying to, like, to sack him is basically financial suicide for the FFAF, given their financial situation. So, for better or worse, I think it's best we just keep Gareca until the end of the cycle. But we just hope that he can do something to, like, at least redeem himself, or at least leave us with something before he leaves.
Well, yeah, again, I feel like Copa America would have been that time to start ushering in a new era. And I think the pandemic really put a damper on a lot of this, because this would have happened a year ago and we still would have had, you know, a proper schedule for the qualifiers. There would have been, like, what, 12 remaining, I think, if the schedule was the same. So that didn't help. But yeah, you do have to adjust. That is totally true. And, you know, hopefully he does end up adjusting. Kevin, do you feel like Gareca stays just because there really aren't any other options out there, and just the financial ramifications as well?
Oh, no doubt. Gareca staying. He himself said from the start that he would not quit. So that is off the table. And the FFAF can't get rid of him because they're in a hole financially. But I mean, Gareca has gotten us a third place and second place at Copa America. He's taking us to a World Cup. The credit is still there.
Of course.
I think he went into the interview, the post-match presser, and he knows things did not go the way he had expected. And there will be changes, because Gareca has consistently made, you know, tinkered around to try to find things that'll help. He's been looking for wingers for a while. I guess he hasn't found them to his satisfaction. Strikers, you know, he took a long time to get back to Lapadula, but he ended up doing it. It seems to be working. Ormeño is kind of on the table, kind of not. We have to figure out how to tie him if we're going to do it. You know, and as far as other options, I'm sure, you know, he's taking this seriously, looking at Lora, Tavara, the extra 10 he added to the Copa America, 50 to make it 60, are very promising. You know, Gianfranco Chavez is finally there. Lagos, who's been probably Alianza's best player.
Yeah.
Sucar got in there, which I don't think he, you know, deserves a call up at this precise moment, but, you know, he's got to know that he's on the radar. Yeah. He needs to step it up.
For sure.
So I think Gareca is positioning himself to make some changes, but the result kind of dampers everything.
Yeah, which is quite unfortunate. Maybe let's pivot to the future, guys, because, you know, we've been talking about, you know, Gareca has to make changes, and what changes are those going to be? A lot of listeners have those same questions, so why don't we answer some of these? At Bayern Forever 5 asked, it seems to be the end of a cycle for most of our players. What radical changes do we need to make to ensure that we become a more competitive team? Renato, I'll let you field this one first.
Well, first, drop the players who have no place in the team, like Cristian Ramos, Aldo Corso. Those players have no business playing for the selection at this point. I appreciate Cristian Ramos for what he's done against New Zealand. I'll love that goal celebration forever, but come on, really? Like, when Peru has that center back depth, it's ridiculous. Come on. But I really would like to see maybe, like, more depth in the midfield, because we need to move on. Like, well, not like a ratio to it entirely, but at least we have to give him a signal that he's not performing anymore, and that if he's not performing, then someone's going to have to take over. I know Martin Tavares has been dubbed the successor of Yotun, and I can possibly assure that he's possibly definitely going to be a headline for the Copa America this year. That will happen as of this recording in 2 weeks. The fullback positioning, which is something that we've always said that needs, like, some quality depth, needs some, like, readjustments. Aldo Corso, yeah, he's out. I think he needs maybe someone like Gilmar Lora can definitely be Advíncula's backup, or who knows, even like take over for Advíncula in the near future. I also think there's also Alejandro Ramos of Melgar that should be taken into consideration. The left back as well. I mean, well, Miguel Trauco has improved a lot defensively since playing in Ligue 1 as of recent. We need more depth in the left back, and we need both attacking and defensive options. There's Paolo Reyna, who is a very defensive option at Melgar. Of course, there's Ricardo Lagos, who is killing it for Alianza and has often been dubbed the second coming of Trauco, which is possibly a positive thing because a Trauco-type left back can really work for Peru for the style of play they go with. But also, we need more wingers as well. I mean, Garrido is, when he's like on form, he's pretty much undisputable for us, but we need also more options on the left because if Flores is not available, who else can take over? I mean, Gareca had Iberico on his disposal, but instead he insisted on putting Garrido on the left, which did not work, honestly, which also, unfortunately, meant Advíncula had to be on the right wing, which did not work at all. So, yeah, I do think we could also give Fernando Pacheco a chance. And now that I know that he's on loan at a new club with Juventud in Brazil, he definitely could deserve a chance in the near future. Vilca also could definitely be another option, yes. Even Selly.
Yeah.
Also, I know people hate Rudiaz. Look, I think I love the guy for the clubs. But national team-wise, you got to get rid of him. I'm sorry, but we cannot be using a slot on a player like that has 50 caps, only 4 goals, a striker. Let me tell you this. Edison Flores, not even a goal scorer for the national team. I believe has like 13 goals for the national team. That's more than what Rudiaz has had. And I'm pretty sure even Flores has less caps than Rudiaz. So
yeah, they're about the same, actually. Yeah, 13 goals in 51 games for Flores. So there you go.
Just put that into perspective.
Yeah, definitely worth putting into perspective. On Iberico, actually, we did get a comment from Stefan at StefanS_777, who just wanted to make a comment. Does Gareca really think that Iberico is that bad that he'd rather play Carrillo and Advíncula out of position and start Corso? It seemed like a perfect opportunity for him to get at least some minutes with Flores and Canchita out. I feel like you could say that, though, for so many of these players who are shining in Liga Uno right now, really, which is a bit of a shame. Kevin, what say you about this whole thing? What changes do Peru have to make to become more competitive?
Well, on the Iberico front, you know, like I said, I was disappointed he didn't get some minutes. I didn't expect him to start, but some minutes. I'm going to, as far as Copa America, I think, you know, a lot of this needs changes, but I'm not that extreme. I think, personally, I think we need to bring back Zambrano. I put in a tweet, the only bright spot about this is his suspension is over.
Good point.
Since he's been gone, we've taken, 7 goals. Plus, when he wasn't there for the Copa America, we also took the 5-0 bashing from Brazil. So I think he might be one of those stable factors or leaders in the back that Abraham might need or Advíncula might need. And as far as younger options, we might see those more in the midfield and in the forward options like Iberico, Tábara, Aronson, Ramírez, possibly Pacheco if he has enough time to step it up, get some minutes in Brazil. Still have plenty of faith in the kid.
Yeah, as do all of us. Let's keep rolling here. Paul at Vara of Gold asked, time to start Peña instead of Cueva? After Cueva came off, there wasn't a player to create, and the ball just kept getting passed outside the box. Kevin, do you feel like it might be time to at least give Peña a shot? I mean, Copa América might be the time to do that.
Personally, I think Peña needs a shot against in the next match against Ecuador.
Okay.
But that's the way I would kind of fit the formation is I'd put him in a 4-3-3 alongside Aquino and Tapia.
I would
still keep Cueva and Carrillo because they're still the most informed wingers that we have, or 10, you know, however you want to look at Cueva. Mm-hmm. So without Trauco, I don't have that much faith in Lopez. I'm sure he's good, but I would possibly just stick Yotun back there.
Maybe looking forward to Copa America, Renato, because we got some questions about, you know, is Copa America the time for the next generational change and things of that nature? And I think that's pretty much a resounding yes. But then we got questions about specific players and whether you'd like to give them a shot. In terms of how you'd like to see Copa America built, like the squad built, we got a question whose handle I can't really say, but it's the G Poop on Earth, who asked, re the cycle, is it time to bring Pacheco, Bilca, Sucar, Tavara, Valera, and others to the forefront of La Selección? Would you like to see those guys leaned on at Copa America this summer with maybe a sprinkle of, you know, some of the usual suspects?
I mean, we need that generational change right now as soon as possible. We can't be relying on that same group that we're always used to all the time, especially if you're going to keep performing like this, which is totally, totally unacceptable. But as I said before, I mean, we do need some leaders at least to at least guide those players. I mean, we need to keep maybe definitely Renato Tapia, Pedro Aquino, Abraham Gallese, and maybe Zambrano. I know he could be a bit of a hothead both on and off the pitch, but you could definitely get a sense of a bit of a leader and his character. I just think you just hope that they can be integrated properly into the national team. It does remind me of something because even like in the training sessions, you can tell that Gareca wants to bring someone to lead these like new boys. I mean, he even invited El Mudo Rodriguez to train with the national team, which kind of shocked me because I thought Mudo was going to be summoned for the qualifiers, but thankfully not. But he was actually just there to train with the national team. And with Mudo, you know that he has a bit of that leadership attitude in him. I mean, he was very pivotal for our defense during the 2018 qualifiers, and he wants to serve as a guide for the younger guys.
I completely agree. We got an interesting question here, maybe just to close it out on the listener questions, from Abel Gamarra at Abalanda81, who asked, which players do you think are done at international level? I think we can all agree that Aldo Corso and Christian Ramos are in that category 110%. But who else would you put into that category in terms of like we should maybe start monitoring their progress over the next couple of months? And, you know, if their level starts to drop, maybe we take them out of the 11. Kevin, who would make that list for you?
So obviously, Corso, Ramos, Guerrero, unfortunately, as much as my heart breaks, should be a sub. He has no match fitness, as far as I'm concerned, and it showed. It showed, you know, time doesn't pass in vain. I'm not saying La Padula is going to, you know, perform like Guerrero or anything, but we might need that as the starter for now until something else shows up. And then you always have the threat of Guerrero coming on. I don't think we should call up Ruiz Diaz anymore. At this point, it might not be fair to him.
It isn't, yeah, but if anything, if he's not performing for us, then what's even the point?
Yeah.
I'm sure he didn't think he was going to come in as a 10 and take free kicks and stuff. Oh. Yeah, so definitely I would take out Ruiz Diaz as well. As far as like other usual people that get called up, you know, I mean, you know, unfortunately Polo's injured, but I don't think he should be part of the squad currently. Flores is injured. His level was give and take. I think he should take the summer off. Cartagena, Gareca just has no faith in him. So I guess the spot is open for a Tabara, Arias, Raciel, whoever you want to put in there, depending on the needs of the team.
And Renato, who would you say is done?
I can basically agree with everything that Kevin has to say. I mean, it's common sense that Aldo Corso and Cristian Ramos should have never been called up to this month to begin with, and you pray that they would not be in the finalists for the Copa América, which would be a huge mistake if they are. I mean, I gotta agree with this point of Paul. I mean, listen, the guy, he's our captain, and with him, you get the leadership, but let's be real, does he deserve to start after being months out injured and injured again after a relapse? And even looking meh, but for the few times he's played with Internacional, I mean, at best he should be at least a super sub or like a difference maker for Lapadula or whoever starts in the front. Ruy Diaz, look, the guy performs fantastically for Sounders. I'm not gonna deny about that. He's a baller for the club, but it's clear that as in for, sorry about that, for Peru, we gotta drop him. If he's not, it's a waste of a spot for someone who does never performs for us. And if he's not gonna perform for us, then you may as well just give the spot to someone else, maybe from Liga One or someone like you could have gave it to Armenio, who arguably deserves that spot even more. Maybe try to warn you to tune that his spot could be in danger because his recent performances have been quite disappointing, to say the most. Maybe make room for Tabata. I would even take a look at Jordan Givina as well. I think he's an underrated midfielder, possibly one of Cienciano's best players at the moment, if I could say so. I mentioned before, we need like to let the fullbacks, Trauco and Avíncula, know that they need to step it up, because if they're not, their replacements are going to be coming in ASAP. And yeah, that's how I could say. I just think we just need recambio immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, agree with everything you guys said. I mean, there are some guys who will probably relinquish a starting spot soon. I think you pretty much brought them all up. And that's why Copa America is massively important, because you can start to see who's going to replace some of these guys who are on the wrong side of 30 or who just aren't in good form anymore or aren't playing at a high enough level compared to their potential replacements. So a lot of questions to be answered over the next month or so. Hopefully, Gareca and his coaching staff figure it out and we start to get a few answers. At the very least, a semblance of a plan going forward. I think that is what most rational Peru fans want to see right now. That will do it for us. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We will be back with you again on either Tuesday or Wednesday, following Peru's second qualifier against Ecuador. We'll also round up some other stuff in Peruvian soccer as well. I'm Peter Galindo. You can follow me at GalindoPW on Twitter. Follow the show at Peru Waltz. Don't forget to subscribe and rate us wherever you get your podcasts as well. It really helps out the show. Renato, what is your Twitter and your final thought for the week?
Twitter handle is Renato underscore Sun. I will say this, I believe Sunday is the Peru elections. Well, I hope everyone who is voting this Sunday in the country carefully considers their decision on who to vote for.
And Kevin, your Twitter handle and final thought.
You guys can follow me at KMontalvan7. And the only thing I can say is, Arriba Peru, always, and hope for the best.
Hear, hear. And yes, go out and vote if you have the opportunity to. It's always nice to exercise your democratic rights. And that is hopefully something everybody can and will do. Until next week, thank you, everybody, once again. This is the Peruvian Waltz team, and we are signing off.
Rubiños en el arco, la defensa es colosal. González orlando la torre, Nicolás Fuentes y Chumpitas, Chale Mifflin y Cubillas y el gran Perico León, Bailón y Alberto Gallardo completan la selección.